The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Jim Nance reporting from Bumper Cabin at Augusta National Golf Club, where Danny Willett, a 28-year-old from Sheffield, England, is the Masters champion. He shot the low round of the day, matched by a couple of others, but 67 without a bogey on his card, and overtakes, makes up five shots on Jordan Spieth on the second nine to win his first major title. Spieth shared second with Lee Westwood. For all the latest updates on the Masters coverage, go to CBSSports.com.
Well, we saw it yesterday. You know, there were several things, Scott, that we could talk about here in the opening. Certainly the president's interview with Chris Wallace, and we will talk about that later on today. He had a lot to say and a lot that he didn't say. You know, quite interesting, holding his position. I think one of the things that I appreciated and said, gosh, why didn't he tell us this a lot earlier, was his national security and the way he chose to deal with, the terrorist fight and his philosophy. He made it real clear. And maybe some people say, well, that's what he's been saying all along, is what he's been doing. No big surprise. But hearing from him, you know, gave me some understanding. I don't know if it helped you at all, but we're going to talk more, you know, about that. But like I said, it was just like one of those aha moments, and you go, okay, well, this seems to make a little bit sense, but you need to have more information than just a, you know, kind of a rare conversation with Wallace. But I think it goes to his point. He says people are talking at one another. We're not talking together. And several times when he's made that suggestion in the past, I said, okay, you're the leader. You know, maybe you need to lead the way, but, such is the way things go. But, a lot of people this morning are talking about the Masters and the absolute meltdown of one Jordan Spieth. I mean, you just couldn't help but feel for the kid, you know?
Yeah, I don't, obviously he had some bad holes in there, but he also, he played par golf yesterday. He had a quadruple bogey, and he played par golf.
He
broke even on the day.
Did he break even? I thought he was one over. I thought he ended up shooting 73.
He might have been one over, yeah. But he had probably his worst round of golf that he's played in a very long time. And, you know, Willett, in my mind, I don't think Spieth lost it as much as Willett won it. I mean, The guy was five shots down, and he came out, and he did what he needed to do, and he had, you know, he had the best round. Obviously, some people also shot a 67, but Willett came out and won it, and for me, that's the story.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting there, you're hope upon hope. You love this young kid, and that is the nature of sports. You know, I like what Riley, who was the coach for Showtime and the Lakers, and talking about adversity and how it builds character. And this is one of those, you know, experiences for Jordan Spieth that will be defining for him, no doubt. And you know, and the thing was, and you and I were talking about this earlier, is it started to happen the night before those last three holes, right?
Yep, Saturday night.
Yeah, those last three holes, and it's gone, okay. And then you see him come back, and he steadies himself, you know, into the final round on Sunday, and you go, okay, good front nine. But as he was doing that, I flashed on Rory McIlroy. If you remember, Rory McIlroy had led the Masters, and he was just, you know, just careening. You say, okay, hey, it's in the bag. Then comes the back nine, starting with 10. He gets into trouble. And that 10th hole, you know, I've been there at Augusta. I've actually played Augusta, and it is, I'll tell you, it is a real special experience. And, but of course I didn't play it at the pro length, but even still at the amateur length, man, I'm telling you, it is a challenge. So that back nine, and I'm thinking, oh man. And then he comes to 12. But like you said, still an amazing comeback, all things considered, and I think he still won about $800,000, so not bad. We've got more to talk about. Stay with us, America. It's 5 after the top of the hour.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Good to have you along with us for the ride. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And our next guest, the one and only Dr. Sebastian Gorka, chairman of the Threat Knowledge Group, who was born in the UK to parents who escaped communism during the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. He's an internationally recognized authority on issues of national security, irregular warfare, terrorism, and democratization. Graduate of the University of London and Cornelius University, Budapest. He was the Kokolis Fellow at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. Holds a PhD in political science. In the UK, he served with 22 Company of the Intelligence and Security Group of the British Territorial Army Reserve, but is now a proud American. And he's here. We're going to be talking about his latest book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, which was just released. He explains in his book that the war is not only winnable, but it can be a lot faster than what some people would consider and what they're talking about. This is going to be, you know, I've been looking forward to this conversation with Dr. Gorka, especially in light of last night's interview with the president and Chris Wallace regarding the president's approach to national security. And as he explained last night, and I guess he's been saying all along, is that he doesn't believe in the need to, really come out aggressively, that he feels that a very tempered response is the right way to go because it helps, kind of manage the emotions of us here domestically, that, we're not freaking out over terrorism. We're not giving them their due by being affected, you know, by the things that they do. I'm not sure about this. Of course, we only hear about it this one time in terms of his philosophy. And you're going, wait a minute here, come on, you got to make this, you're going to have to, be a little bit more of a leader on this and letting people know, okay, what's the reason? Why did you choose to go out and play golf as opposed to, offer a different reaction that would be a little bit more common and understood by Main Street America? And I think last night he explained that. So with us right now is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Dr. Gorka, always good to have you on with us. How you doing, sir?
Great to be back. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations on the book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You address a lot in that book, and the timing couldn't have been better. Did you work out this interview with Chris Wallace in conjunction with the release of your book?
No, I was sitting in my hotel room in New York watching it myself last night. I had no idea.
Well, what did you make of the president's speech? I said that I was caught in, and I don't know, his actions, his statements all along have been consistent with what he said. But I think probably for the first time people heard his temperament about dealing with our national security and dealing with jihad.
Yeah, but at the same time, you've got to watch, his delivery was sound. But at the same time, he didn't answer the questions. So it's really, you know, when he was challenged about going off to fundraisers and golfing after attacks such as San Bernardino, he made this kind of, well, we don't want them to cause panic and fear. Sure, we don't want the terrorists to cause panic and fear, but there's a huge difference between not getting panicky and actually going to a golf round. So, again, it was a little bit too political for me and lacked the commander-in-chief air that we would have liked to have seen.
Well, you know, and I thought that if that was the case, if that was his attitude, then there needed to be more conversation than just a one-time explanation on Chris Wallace. I mean, he's pretty good about supporting other issues, right? But there wasn't support to really add gravitas and add support to this philosophy. And I know some people are probably hearing and going, okay, well, I you know, as you say, on the surface, it could make some sense. But, you know, as we know, when it comes to military, Dr. Gorka, the military is there, as one person described, to break things. And sometimes you need to go and break things. And we're being too genteel here with our military, I believe.
Yes, I think if you look at what we've been doing against ISIS the last 3 years, it's really been kind of nibbling at the edges of the problem and not literally going to war. And on top of that, it's not just about the kinetic stuff. It's not just about deploying the military or helping our allies in the region. It's also about leadership. So when there's a threat to the nation, when we see the highest incidence of jihadi violence was last year, so since 9/11, and I detail this in Defeating Jihad, my book, you want to see leadership. You want to see the commander-in-chief get out there and say, what is the problem and what we are going to do about it? Not just do, you know, drone strikes without telling anybody he's doing drone strikes. We want to see the White House reassure the people that I've got a plan and I'm going to deal with it. And unfortunately, I just don't see that right now.
And I think that's the critical issue that you point out in your book, that it starts with leadership being able to explain the vision. You know, what is the mission objective here? And how are we moving toward that objective, keeping us up to date? I would say by comparison, I know many people, you know, to this day are very critical of one George W. Bush. But I think, you know, President Bush did a better job by comparison in letting us know how we were coming along with that objective. Now, some may argue, yeah, well, this mission accomplished thing on the battleship, you know, was inaccurate or whatever. You know, but all that said and done, you know, throughout the process, he was keeping us aware of what was happening here.
Look, I agree with part of that. He did play the commander-in-chief, absolutely. His strategy wasn't the right strategy, especially when it came to Iraq. But yes, you want to have somebody. It's like being a super CEO. You've got to take responsibility. You've got to be out there, and you've got to be selling the brand. And in this case, the president's brand is a safe America where our citizens can be assured that they're going to defeat this enemy. And unfortunately, in the last 7 years, we really just haven't seen that, right?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gorka, you brought up something that has always bothered me, and I agree with you in terms of the criticism and the shortfalling of my last analysis here, and that is I always had a problem with Iraq, and my question to Dick Cheney or even the President Bush would be, you know, relevant to why Iraq, not Afghanistan. And I had to, you know, almost come up with a scenario of my own making, and that is that it was better to fight the jihadis in Iraq than in the mountains of Afghanistan. And that could have been explained as a strategic move. I don't know if that was giving up, you know, some, you know, critical information, possibly. I don't know. But I agree, people still to this day, and even when you have Bernie Sanders being so critical and, you know, even Hillary kind of backstopping it a little bit, backwalking it a little bit, because even though she voted for it, was the war in Iraq.
Yeah, listen, Bill, the fact is Afghanistan totally understood that. Iraq, the guy was bad. Remember, Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons against his own people. But that doesn't mean he's necessarily a direct threat to America. If the enemy is global jihadism, and that's what it really is, there are other countries that are much more responsible for the export of that ideology, starting with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. And we didn't have to invade those countries to deal with it. We could have just dealt with them behind closed doors. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Afghanistan, completely. Iraq, not so much, and there are other countries that would have been much more important.
And that's a question that still hangs out there, Dr. Gorka, and I don't understand why President Bush or even Dick Cheney directly answers that question and settles it. It's just one of those things where you feel like you don't have all the truth, just like with Benghazi, for example. Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-second walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-second walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
December 7th, 1941. A date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, online in over 270 markets across this country, even around the world, via WWCR on our shortwave affiliate. Good to have you back with us, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. Sebastian Gorka continues. We're talking about his latest book, Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War. You know, Dr. Gorka, I've often said that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And it's real easy to get into all kinds of different ideas and opinions. And I realize that had to be one of the motivations of your book, because you're bringing to reality what America should be doing. Not only America, but it's a really kind of a primer for any kind of government in dealing with jihad, right?
Right. You're absolutely right. So there were like two motivations for writing Defeating Jihad. The first is, you know, based upon my family background. My parents escaped from communist Hungary. And as a kid, I really grew up understanding how precious liberty and democracy is, and that, like Reagan said, its loss is only just one generation away. And I recognized in 9/11 and in the new jihadis a new kind of totalitarianism. So they're like fascists, they're like communists, but what they're doing for Allah. So that was the one motivation. And as you rightly point out, the second motivation was, look, we've been doing this now for 15 years, Bill, and we are losing, and there's no excuse. So I really wanted to give a primer based upon all the work I've done with our military, with the Marines, with the Special Forces, and our guys in the FBI to say, look, there is a way to beat these people, and here's my take, here's one person's take on what it's going to, what you're going to have to do to beat the jihadis.
And one of the questions that keeps coming over and over again, and you bring up in your book very clearly, is you got to define who your enemy is. We seem to not answer that basic question, right?
Yeah, I mean, rule number one is totally, I mean, Sun Tzu said it over 2,000 years ago. If you want to win, you have to know who you're fighting, and you have to know what you represent. If you don't define the enemy, if you do what this administration does, which is say, hey, terrorism is just the result of lack of education and unemployment, then you're never going to win. Of course that's not true. It's about people who wish to enslave or destroy us. And if you're not allowed to use words like jihad, which they call themselves jihadis, then you're just going to be doing whack-a-mole, I'm afraid.
Well, the very thing the president said that he didn't want to do, and in understanding not only who the enemy is, you also have to understand your own strengths and weaknesses and how it matches up against the enemy, correct?
Completely, yeah. A lot of people misquote Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese strategist who wrote the Art of War. They say, you must know the enemy to win. Wrong. That's a misquote. What he said was, if you want to win your wars, you must know both who the enemy is and who you are and what you stand for. And I think we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that America is unique. It's the only nation founded on a principle of freedom and democracy. And we need to understand how special we are and what people like the San Bernardino shooters, the 9/11 hijackers, what they represent and how they wish to take us down.
Well, in this particular case, there is a direct clash of philosophies here pulling against each other, however way you want to define it. The jihadis believe that they are on a mission from their own God. This is a religious, fervent aspiration and a mission for them that they're on. And we have had a mission all along, and that is to preserve freedom, as you just stated. Those are the two, I believe, disparate benchmarks and the dynamic tensions that we need to understand. And for some reason, we're not understanding because – and the thing, I guess, that bothers me a little bit about this, Dr. Gorka, is we have a president who clearly – you know, whether people want to argue whether or not he's a Muslim or not, he clearly, I believe, understands the Muslim faith a lot more than he's willing to be open about, and it's not necessarily playing to our advantage, in my humble opinion.
Look, let's be cautious of the conspiracy theories, but I think Dinesh D'Souza nailed it. We have the first post-American president. This is a man who said, I believe in American exceptionalism the same way the Greeks and the Brits do. Well, that means you don't believe in American exceptionalism. So, you know, it's very hard to believe in America and to fight what is right if you think America is the problem. And it's clear again and again and again from his history in Chicago and elsewhere that we have in the president a man who's really not a fan of America and is, in fact, more about, you know, multicultural relativism. And as a result, he often relates better to our enemies than really to the values of the founding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the process, we're letting go of those solid principles that established America, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're forgetting what was, you know, in the foundation of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, how we are made in the image of our Creator, endowed with rights that are anathema to groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So everything that the Founding Fathers enshrined in those documents is the 180 opposite of what groups like, you know, ISIS, the Islamic State, believe. And that's why they want to kill us. It's not about, you know, our relationship with Israel or our foreign policy. It's about what we stand for. And that's why this is really an existential threat. And it really is a them or us war. And we cannot negotiate our way out of this, Bill.
And in the name of multiculturalism, we've opened up our borders. In fact, there was a report here recently and video showing, you know, some bad players, you know, just coming through our borders. I mean, it is a sieve here. So, you know, some would say it still remains an existential threat, but with our borders as porous as they are, I mean, and of course, we've seen what's happening in our country in San Bernardino, which you mentioned earlier. You know, they're here amongst us now.
Let me be clear for your listeners. Please go to my website, thegorkabriefing.com, or to my company site, which is threatknowledge.org. We have a report up there on the domestic threat of ISIS, and people need to understand this isn't a theory, not a hypothesis. In the last year and a half after ISIS declared the caliphate, we have killed or arrested 98 people on U.S. territory linked to ISIS. This isn't a question of when they're coming here. They're already here, and things like the porous border, if you're ISIS, you will be exploiting that mercilessly, and they do.
Well, in your book, you are laying out a desperately needed strategy to win this war on terror, as you say, before it's too late. What do we need to do immediately, Dr. Gorka?
So immediately we have to get politics out of the threat assessment. We can't have censorship of our intelligence community and say things like you can't use the word jihad when you're training our military or our federal law enforcement. So get politics out of it. Number two, we need leadership. We need a president who's going to say, the enemy we face isn't unemployment of people in the Middle East. It's evil incarnate, just like the Nazis, just like the communists. Then we have to put our people back in the theater as advisors. This isn't our war to fight. This must be fought by our Sunni Muslim allies, but they're not going to do it unless our people are there to train and assist them. And lastly, most importantly on the long term, we have to support the brave Muslims who are pushing back already. Those reformers in the region risking their life every day on the internet, who we don't touch today because they're talking about religious issues and that's too scary for us. So we need to be honest. We need to help our allies and we need to help the regions, or the countries of the region, close with and crush groups like ISIS.
Well, you speak of leadership, of the leadership offerings that we have right before us, Dr. Gorka. Who do you feel more comfortable with leading the way into this, you know, into this transition from the Obama administration to who knows what's next?
Look, I work for the Marine Corps University, so I'm not in the business of endorsement. But my wife, Katie Gorka, who's an expert on jihadism, it's well known. She is on the national security team for Senator Cruz. So I think that may answer your question.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to put you in an uncomfortable spot and to cause you to declare something, but hey, we'll let our wives handle that. That's fine. Interesting. Okay. Again, where can people get your book, Dr. Gorka?
The book is available right now on Amazon.com, hardback, audio, and Kindle, and you can also find it at my website, The Gorka Briefing. That's G-O-R-K-A, thegorkabriefing.com.
And we'll also link it on our website and feature it at BillMartinezLive.com. Defeating Jihad, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzvenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet. And I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles. And it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and the Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we now come to you Monday through Friday, 3 hours every day from 9 to 12 noon Eastern. As always, great to have you along with us. It's just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with us. And Dr. Richard Weikert is now with us, professor of history at California State University, Stanislaus, and the Discovery Institute senior fellow and expert on the impact from the late 1800s through the Nazi period of social Darwinism in Germany. Dr. Weikert, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Hey, congratulations, I say, on the book. And it had to just tear at your heart as you're kind of doing a post-mortem on this death culture that we have found ourselves in the midst of, that we say, well, how did we get here anyway, right?
Yeah, and I hope it's not a post-mortem. I hope it's a warning that'll help us to keep from the brink. I mean, I'm hoping, I actually am a little hopeful. I mean, even though the title of my book is The Death of Humanity, the subtitle is End the Case for Life. So I'm hoping that we can turn things around, and that's the whole point I wrote the book for.
Yeah, I say post-mortem only for those that have paid the price already.
Sure.
You know?
Well, you're right. There are many people who have already died as a result of our culture of death. So, yes, there are millions that have perished already. So, in that sense, I suppose it is a post-mortem. But I'm hoping we can turn things around culture-wise and look strongly at where we've come. And I try to give some pretty shocking examples in my introduction to let us know where we've come at this point. You know, just one of the examples I give in my intro, for example, is a evolutionary biologist at University of Texas named Eric Pianka, who in 2006 was getting an award from the Texas Academy of Sciences. He gave this speech where he said that he thought it would be a good thing if 90% of the human population perished through some kind of Ebola virus mutating to become airborne or become aerosol. And he received a standing ovation when he ended his speech. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're grappling with today, where people don't value human life any longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you cite something that I think is and have held for a long time, Dr. Weichert, and that is social Darwinism that started in Germany. And it kind of gave place. It isn't to say that the thought wasn't always there. It was there, but it somehow gave it place in the middle of the, 19th, the middle of the 19th century, 20th century there.
Well, late 19th, early 20th century, yeah.
Yeah, and so here it is. It kind of opened the door and gave it a place, even though it wasn't all that accepted when it first came out. But those that it rhymed with their reason, they grabbed a hold of it and took the ball and ran. And in a short period of time, they started taking over some things critically here in the United States.
Yeah, like many ideas, these ideas started in the intellectual elites, and from there it sort of percolated down. And in Germany, what you had was you finally had a politician who came forward who tried to apply these ideas very radically. In the United States, we applied some of the same kind of social Darwinist ideas, though, with the eugenics movement, which was trying to breed better humans through compulsory sterilization, for example, was one of the ways it was expressed in the United States. So we also had immigration restrictions based on racial categories and groups. So we had some of these things going on in the United States too, not as radical, obviously, as in Nazi Germany at the time. But in this new book, Death of Humanity, though, I try to expand my look, and I look at a lot of different ideologies, not just social Darwinism. I look at existentialism, I look at materialism, positivism, utilitarianism, a lot of these secular ideologies that have come about since the Enlightenment period, and show how they have done sort of similar kinds of things of devaluing human life that social Darwinism did.
Yeah, it all kind of added to the recipe, but to your point, though, it all funneled into that culture of death, didn't it?
Yes, it did, because once you strip away the idea that there's a creator who's created humans, then what happens is human life no longer really has any value, and you've also dismissed the idea, typically, and these secularists did, that there was any kind of objective morality or human, so there's no human rights, really any longer. So then, there is nothing there to give any kind of value to human life.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Weichert, people are quick to blame the church for failing to do their job to hold to some moral compass and to really, hold their ground on, our understanding that we are made in God's image, that it is, we're just not just mere flesh and blood, that there's something, incredibly significant about each of God's creations.
Yeah, and obviously the church has failed at various times, and I think we as Christians need to confront that on the one hand. But the interesting thing is that the secularists who are very often complaining about all of this themselves have no moral grounds to even criticize that because they don't believe there's any value of human life at all. So it's kind of interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday, in fact, I was saying that, secularists are telling us that there's no such thing as objective morality, so there's no such thing as objective evil, and yet they're convinced that Christianity is evil for having done the Crusades and the Inquisition and all these other kinds of things. So, they're trying to have it both ways.
How do you put that in perspective when they bring that up? Because you hear that argument over and over again. Of course, it was further perpetuated by a recent speech by our own president.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I try to do is, for one thing, to point out that Christianity, actually, Jesus and Peter and other of the apostles made it clear that there would come false prophets who would speak in the name of Jesus but then do things that were not, that were immoral. And so Christianity actually has the moral resources to criticize itself, whereas secularists don't even have the moral resources to criticize anything for being immoral because they don't believe morality even exists at all. So I think Christianity can be self-critical and can say, look, yes, we have done things that are immoral. We need to change. We need to repent. But we do have a moral standard to hew to. They don't even have any kind of moral standards to even criticize Christianity, which they then try to do. And this is one thing, by the way, that I try to do a good deal in my book, Death of Humanity, is I try to show many of the contradictions in the secularist mind and the their worldviews by showing that, in, on the one hand, you know, they will deny that humans have any kind of value of life. They deny that there's any kind of objective morality. But on the other hand, they know better because they don't live that way. Mm-hmm. And when they start talking to you about different kind of things that, that are important to them, or if you push the right buttons, you'll find out that they do believe that there are things that are true, there are things that are false, there are things that are morally true and things that are morally wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting about our own pride. When we want to hold to some ground and have it be justified, you know, we can, you know, follow the crowd and join a rally. But as you say, when you step, you know, step aside from that for a moment and deal with the truth, you have to admit some things that are inarguable. And I often find that, you know, it is these little areas of accommodation, these human failings that we want to have cover for that, you know, can cause us to go along. But later on, when the light is, of truth is shined upon us, we go, oh, my goodness, how did we get here? And maybe this is a bit of what your book does, is that it's shining a light on, you know, here's where we are. Here's where we are in a secular America today. And many people are asking that question. How did we get here?
Yeah, and I hope it will serve as a wake-up call to say, yeah, how did we get to this position where we have easy acceptance of abortion, easy, and euthanasia now is coming on the floor. California, of course, just passed the euthanasia bill last year, assisted suicide bill. And in fact, I heard it's going to go into effect on June the 9th, and I heard that the state of California is now setting up a suicide hotline, not so that you can try to dissuade people from committing suicide, but so they can tell them how to do it.
Amazing. Wow. You know, is it any wonder so many people are leaving California in droves? I think something like 5 million people are leaving for practical reasons. But you know, what happens is when you are foundationally compromised, the practical reasons will come out and find you out. And people are going, hey, there's something wrong here in River City. I just can't handle this anymore, right?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, now that we have this kind of law, you know, it's going to, you know, what we've seen in other states and also other countries, Belgium and Netherlands, in fact, even worse there. They've had assisted suicide much longer and for even far more reasons than we do here in Switzerland.
Well, Dr. Weichert, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Okay. Congratulations on the book, The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. It'll be linked on our website as well and available at all the usual places.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. For many, the American dream means financial independence, but is that a realistic goal for all of us? Most Americans consider themselves financially savvy, but a closer look at their finances doesn't always reflect their perceived understanding. According to a new study by Fifth Third Bank, financial independence was cited as a goal for over 80% of respondents. But for many Americans, staggering debt, poor retirement planning, and insufficient savings stand in the way of attaining that goal. 70% of Americans have some form of debt, yet 30% have no plan to pay it off. Jada Grandy, Senior Vice President, Fifth Third Bank.
Financial planning is one of the most important things you can do in life. From our survey results, we found that Americans are generally knowledgeable about basic financial concepts. The gap is applying that knowledge to personal behaviors in order to empower themselves for the future.
For more information, visit www.53.com/life.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Lord, can you tell me? Yeah, Lord, can you tell me? I just gotta know how far.
Hey, we're back with the America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Jeff Gilbert is with us, the former drummer with the band Cutlass. You may remember Jeff. He is back with us. We're going to talk about Save the Stork. But Jeff, you just got back from a conference this weekend, huh?
I did, man. Yeah, I was out in Detroit, back here in Santa Ana, California, back with my family, living life.
Yeah, well, and it was, you say, the Lead Me Live conference, and of course inspired by Sanctus Real's, song Lead Me, which was so touching, and I know that it motivated a lot of men to, alter their consideration of, the important position they have, for their families, right?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, Matt Hammett and I are great friends. Matt, the lead singer of Sanctus Real, and he was starting this conference, and I immediately wanted to jump on board because that's something that's heavy on my heart. Just, guys, let's get together. Let's sharpen each other. Let's just figure out this narrative on what it is that men need to be doing to step up. And just like Adam was not stepping up in the garden when Eve fell, when she ate that fruit, we see that he was passive. We can no longer be passive like that. And that's something that's really heavy on my heart about abortion as well. And we discussed Save the Storks at this conference, and the men stood up, the entire room stood up and said, we're going to stand with this, and we're going to do something about this. It was incredible.
Well, yeah, we talked a little bit last month when we were in Nashville about Save the Storks. So I want to remind everybody, bring us up to date and up to speed with Save the Storks, its mission, Jeff, and the inroads that you've made since then.
Right on, Bill. Well, you know what? The thing about Save the Storks that I love so much is it's such a loving and respecting organization, because what we're doing is we're not sitting here complaining and being angry and defensive about what's going on. Instead, we decided, well, what if we created better solutions for these moms that are going through an unplanned or crisis pregnancy? And so what we learned was 84% of post-abortive moms didn't know they had another choice or another option.
Wow.
Yet 90% of moms who are abortion vulnerable, who see an ultrasound image and hear the heartbeat of their baby in their womb, they will change their mind and choose life after they see that ultrasound image. And so we thought, well, let's just create the most beautiful, most epic, mobile medical unit, call it a stork bus. We're called Save the Storks, and we can outfit it with high technology, ultrasound technology, and we can take this thing anywhere we want to take it as long as we have the right permit. And we're able to park that thing right in front of abortion clinics, right where these moms are, and we're able to meet with them. And so we partner with pregnancy resource centers all over the nation, and we're able to get these buses in their hands. And we're seeing incredible things happen, Bill. We're seeing 360 babies saved on average per year per bus.
Wow.
Because we're able to do this. We have 21 buses now on the road. We're trying to build 21 more with 21 more in production. Mm-hmm. All kinds of glorious things are going on. We just hit our fifth birthday as an organization. And, I mean, we're just getting going. It's incredible.
Wow, that's so cool. And I there's just nothing like the truth. And you think about these women and what, some of these publicity people would want us to believe about, you know, whether it's Planned Parenthood or some other abortion clinic, that they're there to help women. And this number, 84% of women not knowing of any other alternative but to go in and abort their child. I mean, this is unbelievable. Is it any wonder, Jeff, that these women, after the fact, carry such a burden, and you and I were touching on this off the air before we went on, and that is that they're so burdened by having done this. There's just something inside them that says, you know, there had to be another way. There's another alternative that's not right. Because one of the things that I find quite extraordinary is when I speak with women who have gone through an abortion, it is amazing to the number, Jeff. They will tell me how old that child would have been today.
Oh,
and I don't even have to prompt them. I don't have to prompt them with that. They will tell me. So it tells me that they're still grieving over the death of that child.
Absolutely. And it shows us as well that these moms innately know that that is not a mass of cells like the world's trying to tell them. It's not a clump of tissue. That's a human being living inside your body. And if you don't know you have any other options, if you don't know what to do, if you're scared, if you're frightened, and you're getting an abortion clinic staff telling you that's what you have to do in order to move on with your life, you're in a very vulnerable state. You're in a very difficult, sensitive state. And we don't appreciate that. We want to be able to guide someone and give them options and say, hey, there's some other options here, and we want to empower you. Mm-hmm. And so if the world is saying, well, it's empowering a woman by taking away the most powerful thing a human can do, that's not empowerment. Right. What we want to say is, man, we want to empower you to tell you that you're capable of this, and you're capable because the church wants to get behind you and support you and help you, whether that's help you guide into an adoption process where that baby can be adopted into a new family, or if you need resources to help raise that child, if you need community, man, we've got all of that right here waiting for you, and you just need to know it's there. And we want to do that in a safe place where we can help slow your thoughts down. And, Bill, if you go to SaveTheStorks.com, you'll see these buses, and they're beautiful. They look like Learjets is what I like.
I know. They're awesome. I'm taking a look at it, and I'm going, I'm so excited. And I know that people are saying, Jeff, okay, I'm on the bus with you. How can I help out? And we want to give them this phone number, 844-578-6757. That's 844-578-6757. And you can get on the bus with Jeff and the rest of the team to save the storks, because there are many women as this, you know, this abortion, you know, culture of death continues in our society. We can make a big difference. I mean, you know, consider that number, ladies and gentlemen. 84% of the women, they're not getting any kind of additional information about life. And as Jeff was alluding to just a moment ago, this is about freedom. Jesus came that we would be free. You tell me how this culture is freeing and liberating us. It is enslaving women all the more, trapping them into something that they realize innately is not comfortable. They drag it along with them like a, you know, like a 1,000-pound anchor. How is that freedom, Jeff?
Right. Right. That's a great question, Bill. And I'm so appreciative that you have a listenership, that you have a fan base of people across this country, around the world.
Yes.
That believe in this. And for a lot of us, And if you're one of those people that are saying, man, I believe every single word you guys are saying. I just didn't know what to do because maybe I'm not the kind of person that I don't want to go picket with graphic signs. And maybe you have, and maybe you haven't felt like that's been effective. And I agree. I don't believe that's really necessarily effective. I think that's positioning us as against those women when they need to know that we're for them.
Exactly.
And
good
that
point.
We're here for them. Mm-hmm. And that we are inviting them into what we understand, into that goodness and that grace that Jesus has so wonderfully given us. And so what you can do, the way that you can be pro-life in this new narrative and to save one baby per day, per bus, that's 21 babies per day right now that are being saved, 21 moms that are being served per day. And we're about to double that. We're getting up to 21 more buses, so we'll have 42 on the road.
Right.
What you can do is call that number that Bill just gave you and say, I want to fight with Save the Storks. I want to serve these moms. I want to save these babies. I want to empower these pregnancy centers that are professionals at what they're doing. And I know that they're going to give these women what they need. They're going to give them support. They're going to give them the gospel. They're going to give them resources. That's what we need you to do. We need you to stand with us. We need you to walk with us. We need you to help carry this because, man, it is making a difference. It's even closing down abortion clinics because, you know, New Jersey, for example, mm-hmm. we have a bus that saw 394 women board their bus last year, and 394 women chose life.
Wow.
And because of that, it was astounding, Bill. And because mm-hmm. of that, that abortion clinic wasn't able to stay open anymore. They locked their doors for good. And that was one of the busiest abortion clinics in the state of New Jersey, closed.
Right.
Not because we picketed it, not because we politicked it, but because we helped teach that community a new way on how to handle your health care and how to get health care if you're going through a crisis or an unplanned pregnancy. That's what's happening is we're changing the narrative right now. We're educating the people, and they're clearly making the right choice.
Exactly. Well, the Bible tells us clearly, and that crossroads is in front of us even today in this 21st century, just as it was then. Mm-hmm. What stands before you right now is life and death. And you can choose which you want to go. And even the Bible, in case you're confused between that choice of life and death, the Bible tells you clearly, choose life. That's the better road, that it would go well with you. And that's really where we stand today. This is your chance to choose life. And as Jeff said, I mean, today with modern technology, with the vision that Save the Stork had in order to go out and be a positive influence, to bring education to the community, to bring true support, to do something that Planned Parenthood does not even, and other abortion mills, they don't have the capacity to consider a vision like this because they're rewarded based on abortions, on death. That's their model. They get paid and they continue to exist on this concept of death, not life. And Save the Stork says, hey, they're going to stand in the face of that and come forward and say, we choose life. And there's it's incredible. You know, I was reading this that 90% of the women who see an ultrasound picture of their baby decide not to have an abortion. That's absolutely incredible. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you that phone number again. You can partner with Jeff and I. Get on the bus with us, okay? We need 21 more buses. We need more than that. This is the next phase of the mission and the vision for Save the Storks. 844-578-6757. 844-578-6757. Make sure you tell them that Bill and Jeff told you to call, okay? They'll be happy to hear from you, and they will be happy and joyful that you as well believe in their vision and that you want to do something about this and choose life. Right, Jeff? We've got about 10 seconds.
That's right. 844-5-STORK. It's an awesome thing. Get on board. I know it's going to bless you, man.
And SaveTheStork.com is the website, right?
SaveTheStork.com.
There it is. Jeff Gilbert. I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Jeff.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.